Greetings. Welcome to part two of this 22nd of February 2026 Sunday program, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry Radio, not radio, Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. My podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com. And on the site, there are two options, to the Olive Tree programs or to This Present Truth programs. Again, this is the second hour of today's Sunday, the 22nd of February, 2026 program. I document these in time because I have done programs in 2005, 6, 7, and 8, and the programs were documented with a timestamp, and this way I can go back and I can review and know what I had presented to the audience on a date, not just a program. My contact information is Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Now, the book of Matthew, I give you always just a bleep, is Christ's most distinct explanation of the end times in one chapter. Chapter 25 is Christ explaining what will happen to the body of believers that are virgins, some faithful, some not faithful, some will be in the wedding feast, others will be outside. Then there's going to be the gathering of sheep and goats. This takes place, these two scenarios take place right at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Within, I would say, days of the millennial kingdom. Christ details what will happen from the time of the Israel becoming a nation, simply, all the way to the resurrection of the church and the end of the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, Presbyterian, Pentecost, Protestants, all of the so-called, what we call, the churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, the seven lampstands, they will cease to exist as Christian, just Christian churches. They cease to exist. There's a timeline. It's at the end of the Great Tribulation, in the first 30 days, all of the churches in Revelation chapter 1 will no longer exist. The worship of Christ, the worship of God, won't be of Christ. The worship of God, the world will go back to basically the teachings of Moses with Israel being the nation to which the nations must once a year come to worship God. There will be no Christians. There will be no Catholic Church. There won't be these assemblies as we know it. They will cease to exist. It was a period of time given to the program of born again, building the kingdom with the born-again experience. It will come to an end upon the resurrection of the church, of the people that are still living, that are Christians. On that day, there will never, ever be an individual who will ever receive the Holy Spirit within his human spirit ever again. that period has ended for eternity. Now, like in the Old Testament, God will pour his Spirit upon man objectively, and Israel will be the nation that will lead the nations to worship the true God. It will not be as it was in the time of the Jewish culture, the Jewish, how would I phrase it? It won't be like in the Old Testament times. Because in the Old Testament times, it was a figure, a type of what was coming. But God was visiting certain individuals, prophets, kings, but in a much different manner than he visited the world after Christ raised from the dead and that night breathing his Spirit into mankind. After Christ judges the sheep, rewards the sheep, and judges the goats, the new millennial kingdom, the worship of God will go back to the principles of the Ten Commandments, of the laws of Moses. But this time, there will be reality. God will not be distant. This is why once a year, they will come to worship in Jerusalem, a living God. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, verse 8. We are in the experience of verse 8 presently, the whole world. We're in verse 7 too, verse 6. We're in this experience of wars, rumors of wars. We're not to be troubled. Nation's going to rise against nation, kingdoms against each other. There's going to be division within the nation, civil strife between the races, ethnos against ethnos, mentioned in Luke chapter 21. Then Christ says in verse 8, what we're experiencing, what the world is experiencing presently and has been experiencing since Israel became a nation in 1948, is we're in the early time of trouble, the times of early trouble. The great distress is coming. Well, we have reached that point where now there is distress, there's anguish, there's hardship. Nations are struggling to, as we can see, in the last hour, I was going to say something, and I forgot to finish what I was going to say. The prophets goes along with what I'm presenting. We, as God's children, are to look at what happens in the culture, in the society, in the government. And we are to, by viewing what is happening, we get an indicator as to what and where Christ is in prophecy. Is he at a distance still, or is he near? Many in 1889, believed Christ was going to return at that time. World War I, the war with the nations in Europe, Christians believed that Christ was going to return then, in World War II. But by the Vietnam War, yeah, they knew Christ was coming, but still at a distance in the future. And this is the reason why God calls specific people and ordains them to watch the events occurring in their area, in their nations, in their region, in their nations, in the world. The prophets of Israel, this was their one of the things that they did. They knew what was happening. with the religion within Israel, the religion and religions and the worship, whether it was true or they were worshiping idols, what was happening with the surrounding countries, who they worshiped, who their gods were, what their practice in worship was, whether killing children or having festivals worshiping sex or violence. Well, in this country, we should have been watching more closely what has been happening since the 70s. One thing that the prophets have missed and have become a part of is apostasy. Many of the prophets who have prophetic ability are in congregations that are apostate, that are actually furthering apostasy. They're not addressing the apostasy. They are not discussing with their pastors, who are one-dimensional most of the time, that, yeah, the prophecies are being fulfilled, and with each fulfillment, the return of Christ is much closer, or not only imminent, but we are moving into the great cluster of prophetic fulfillment, which we are now in. Israel becoming a nation was a trigger point that most of the Christians in the Jesus movement in America realized that was a big sign from God, Israel becoming a nation. And Israel would become apostate. Israel would become extremely apostate, not trusting in their God, trusting in nations, trusting in their own abilities, even attempting to bring in the millennial kingdom through power, which is happening right now. And the prophets of the land of this country aren't really aware of what is happening because they don't follow what happens in the culture. They don't see what happens in the religious state or the state of the religion in this country, not just within the cult churches, but within the body of Christ, within evangelical Christianity, within the Catholic Church, all the other main denominations. They don't see that the main denominations are absolutely apostate. Not every believer is apostate. Not every believer is deceived. But the bulk, for the most part, they are unaware of where we are in the prophetic timetable, the timeline. We're in Matthew 24, verse 8. We're in a small season still of just early pains, birth pains, time of sorrows, anguish. But very soon, we're going to be in tribulation. Most Christians don't know the one event that begins what we know and what we term tribulation. They don't know what it is. They don't know that it's Israel signing an agreement with a foreign nation and a foreign king, a foreign president. They don't know. They won't know what day that tribulation begins. They're not watching. They don't know what it is, even if they were watching. But when it happens, there will be a shift in the societies of the world. And what I mean by that is this. Matthew 24, before verse 9 can occur, which is the first day of the tribulation, there the war and the prophecies in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, the great Russian conflict with other countries will have concluded. That war will be over. The great Russian war, where these armies are destroyed in present-day Jordan, will have ended. And now the earth is somewhat maybe quiet because Russia and the armies coming from Turkey, the Islamic armies coming from Turkey, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, a few other nations up around Russia's borders, and the great Russian military coming with these Islamic armies, Russia itself not being so much an Islamic force, but with Russia, there's no difference between the hatred of the Islamic soldiers that will come and the Russian armies that will come. The purpose is there's a hatred of Israel, of the Jewish people, and they are going to come into present-day Jordan in the countryside and be destroyed. This war occurs 7 years and a few months prior to the War of Armageddon. So it is a warning to the evangelical Christians in America especially, and to the world, that the tribulation is coming. When Russia's defeated, many Christians believe that is Armageddon. They are deceived. When Russia's destroyed with these armies, these Islamic armies, not only is Israel going to destroy the Islamic terrorists in the region, which is the Psalm 83 war presently, when this war is concluded, a great mass of Islamic terrorists will have been neutralized. But then a greater horde, the greater armies, meaning hundreds of thousands, maybe more, Islamic terrorists are coming with Russia. And they're going to be destroyed in the mountains of Jordan. Calls them the mountains of Israel. Well, Israel will own those mountains because Israel, before the Gog-Magog war occurs, will have possession of the land of present-day Jordan. The tribulation is not yet begun. We're still in Matthew chapter 8. The Gog-Magog war occurs in the time of birth pains and sorrows. It doesn't occur in the time of tribulation. It occurs before. So in the time of birth pains and sorrows, you will have a war called the Gaza War, which is termed incorrectly. It is the Psalm 83 war. It is a regional war. Also so that war will have concluded in the time of sorrows and birth pains. Also in the time of birth pains and sorrows, another prophecy will occur, the destruction of Damascus. With the end of the prophecy of Psalm 83, Israel possesses the land of Jordan. And right about the time of that possession, Israel destroys the ancient city of Damascus. This all occurs in the time of sorrows, tribulation, and birth pains. Also, in the time of sorrow's birth pains before the tribulation begins. Now, I don't want to get too heavy on you, but you need to know the truth. In the previous programs, I've mentioned the United States of America. And the President of the United States of America, who will sign an agreement in Daniel 9:27 with the nation of Israel, or with the people in Israel. It will be an American president. But it will not be Donald Trump. In the time of birth pains and sorrows, Donald Trump will conclude his time appointed by God to be president of this country. His time will have expired, and he will be replaced by a new president that was a president years before. And Trump will have been dismissed from his duties by God, because another individual must be the leader of this country to sign an agreement with Israel. This happens in Matthew chapter 24, verse 8, the time of sorrows, birth pains, anguish, hardship, psychological difficulty, economic difficulty, problems with having a job, unemployment, unstable economy in the United States of America. This is the beginning of hardships. So there are these prophecies that must take place. Now, with the wars, the rumors of wars, things of this nature, going back to Israel becoming a nation, there was one thing that is presented at a distance, or not actually stated, except for in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel was told, you're going to go and you're going to rest, and knowledge will increase, and there'll be an increase in travel. Two things, knowledge and travel. Knowledge meaning, yeah, we know more things about DNA and the universe, but more so, more importantly, the Bible, God will go ahead and release the deep, deep thinking of the scriptures so that his people will have detailed, intricate knowledge of his plan. And then also at the same time, for those who are faithful to Christ, he will give them a sensitivity to his spirit, in their spirit. They will become more sensitive to the intuition, more intuitive in just direction, what directions to take, not to take. And also he will give them grace to, under pressure, to not faint. The experience of the power of his might in their experience daily, to not faint, to just hold and stay balanced, stay upright, and God will give them the grace for that day. Grace is like manna in the Old Testament. You only have enough grace for one day. You don't need the grace for tomorrow today. You'll have the grace, the strength, the power of his might for what you're going through in this day. Don't think about what I tell you is coming. Know it's coming, but tend to this day only. You can only eat your meals in this day. You can only drink what is available to you in this day. Do not look to the future. Do not be distressed. But with each day, you just begin to pray a little more. A little more. And I was going through notes that I had written years ago. And the things that the Lord had basically revealed to me personally. And He had spoken things about what He expected of me. One thing He said that I can share to, and I have been sharing this to a degree, one of the great, great, most important weapons of your warfare is intercession. This one ability to intercede, while you're interceding, you're praying for, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray what you're directed to pray by the Lord. And in praying, you will begin to perfect that ability, which is not an ability like hitting a baseball. It's an ability that with it, you will literally, well, I won't say literally, with this ability, you will have the, what you're praying for, you'll have these, boy, I'm trying to explain it here. God speaks to you intricately when you're interceding, when you're praying. He will give you direction. He will strengthen you. He will give you peace deep in your spirit. He will give you healing for your physical body, healing psychologically. In times of intercession, He will visit you. And if there's someone that you have an offense with, that you need to forgive, it will be at that time that He will let you know that you have an offense outstanding and you can forgive. Does it mean you've got to go to the person and ask them to forgive you? Well, sometimes that may be the case. If you've offended them and you have hurt them and they have basically you've knocked them off balance to cause them spiritual hardship, you may have to go apologize. But He'll reveal to you things in your heart that He needs you to address and you need to be real about. If you go to the Psalms, King David, as he's praying under duress, all of a sudden he realizes, I need mercy. I need mercy. In one place, I think it was in Psalms 8, he says, Lord, don't let me fall into the hands of my enemies, that they tear my soul apart like a lion and shred my soul to pieces. For the Christians that understand what I'm going to say, Lord, do not let them split my personalities through torture. Do not let them give me other alternative personalities. Do not let them shred me. And this is what happens in our age through these government programs in the U.S., China, Russia, internationally. There's a technique where they can, through torture, through trauma, they can split the personality into different personalities. Multi-personality people. David was praying, don't let them do that to me. This is what you need to pray, that they could never catch you and torture you to that point. The apostles, they never did have multi-personality problems. The Holy Spirit was with them, though they went through the trials they went through. They were never MK'd, is what I call it. They retained the original personality. But as you pray for yourself, the Lord will show you what might be coming. Intercession is very, very necessary for God's children. And the devil doesn't like it. Doesn't want you to know God. Doesn't want you to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. And he does not want God to speak to you intricately. And as you're interceding, you'll have a thought about something that might not be related to what you're praying for. Don't dismiss that thought. Actually, keep it, put a marker to it, and just maybe briefly, just pray. If you sense there's somebody you need to pray for that just briefly, well, spend 15, 20 seconds and just mention them to the Lord. He'll bring it back to you later if there's more, if there's a need to intercede more on their behalf. For you, yourself, your children, your parents, friends, people that you're with in your fellowship, that you work with, this is the battles that will be won through intercession. Now, you are gifted. I'm kind of off topic, but I'm not. Every believer has giftings. It is not a shame to ask the Lord to show you where your strengths are. I'll give you an example. I knew a friend, pastor, very good pastor, big congregation, gifted with teaching, gifted evangelizing, with pastoring, with healings, gifted with prophetic to some degree, some apostolic, meaning the servant abilities to serve. And eventually, there was a period where everything came apart. And it ended up tragically, divorce, losing everything he had done, his years and years and years of service to the Lord for thousands and thousands of people. It all ended. And we were visiting, and I asked him a question one day. Well, I don't know if it's so much a question as an observation. I said, "Brother, you're gifted in all these areas, but you were very dynamic as a pastor. Very dynamic. Look what you accomplished as a pastor. But that was not your strength. You neglected the strengths that you had, and you built everything with a lesser ability, which was extremely powerful." I would say, find your strength. Find what you do best. And then strengthen that gift, that ability. Then ask the Holy Spirit to show you, okay, what's next? What's next? People that are in the Olympics on the diving team, let's say they can do a forward flip, 3.5, a triple, a 3.5 forward flip. That's their strength. But they're trying to do a double flip with a twist, and that's not their strength. And what they do is the coaches will make them perfect that one strength that they have. Let's say they're not too tall, and they can do a triple and a half. They're short. They're not as graceful many times as a taller diver. But they are compact, and they can do 3.5. Others that are taller can do, let's say, two twists with a twist and a half. Find your strength, and with that strength, make it strong, keep it strong. So they do the 3.5 time and time and time again, and they get high scores. And then they try other skills that are dives that are harder, and they get a little bit higher points. Their points are higher. But they make sure that they can do that backward three and land properly so that they're not dousing water on everybody sitting on the sidelines. Well, they're at a distance anyhow, but anyhow, find your strength. And I told this friend, I said, you used you're gifted there, but it is the least of your giftings. And because of it, he lost everything. Now with his preaching and his presenting the gospel, that was another strength which he still has. So I found my notes, and I remember that the Lord had just told me that the battles in the future will be won through intercession. Then, with intercession, the battles will be won with the giftings of prophecy. What I'm presenting to you is that the prophecies that are in the Bible that have not yet come to pass will come to pass. There's no getting around what is coming. Russia's defeat, the Islamic, the million, the hundreds of thousands of Islamic fighters are going to be eliminated in the Gog-Magog war. God is making it evident his promises to Abraham. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. These Islamic forces are under the curse of God. In the Psalm 83 war, they are causing harm, affliction to Israel, whether many feel that this is a genocide. It is not. What's happening in the Middle East presently is not a genocide. God said that he was going to punish the enemies that caused his children, the elect Israel, grief through thousands of years. He would punish them. And he made it clear that when this occurred, it would be viewed through modern technology. Technology would increase. Knowledge would increase. That means technology. And God wants the whole world to view what happens when nations attack Israel. And it is through media. Well, now media is more instant than before. It's in real time. Within 2-3 seconds, you can see what's happening in another country. God waited to punish the enemies of Israel until there was this technology, so the world could see, so the world would fear. I'm afraid many people in this country right now that we listen to on podcasts that are well known, I would warn them, be very careful. Don't try to punish the neighbor's children. The Jewish people are going to be punished, and the punishment is in the scriptures. When they sign the agreement with America, they're going to be punished. And guess what? God is going to allow the United States of America to punish them. We are going to punish the nation of Israel for their apostasy, for their marriage. They are going to annul their certificate, their marriage certificate with God, to make an agreement with a foreign nation. And God says in Isaiah 28, I will annul your agreement. It's an annulment, an annulment. God is going to annul that agreement, but he's going to allow the United States to punish Israel. Now that kind, because God uses the nations to punish the nations, God is going to use the culture to punish the apostate Christians too. And God is going to use other means to punish the nations, the Gentile nations. Everybody's going to get punished because everybody has rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the King of the Jews, the Messiah of Israel. And they have denied, they are in the presently blaspheming the God of heaven with the matter of this Jeffrey Epstein. This here, God has decided, now it's time, Christ decided it's time to expose the witchcraft of America to the world and the witchcraft of the nations of the world to the other societies. And this is a form of blasphemy, not just cursing God openly with your fist to the air, but actually blasphemy in the sense of doing every single evil thing that is forbidden in the laws of Moses. Men with men, women with women, the abuse of children, the death, the murder of children. Do not think, do not even have the thought that America is not under judgment and that Europe and the nations are not under judgment. They are under punishment. Israel is under punishment, but Israel has duties. Israel has responsibilities. Psalm 83, they have to protect themselves from the enemies within and in the region. This is Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. These are the things we are witnessing are in this time of birth pains and sorrows. The tribulation is not yet begun. Tribulation will begin in the fall. If the war with Russia occurs this year, then in the fall, Donald Trump should be out of office. Now, I don't see things escalating that fast. I have been saying that 2033 is when the Lord should return, but I don't know how Russia, Turkey, Iran, other nations, Azerbaijan, other nations up in that region that are heavily Islamic, Ethiopia, Libya, in North Africa, I don't know how they can amass their armies quickly to move these armies into present-day Jordan I don't know if it can go another year. I just don't know. But if Russia, we're barely going into the spring, if all of a sudden something changes, and with the push to restrain Iran with nuclear abilities, and with Israel threatening to take action against Iran, she cannot. They cannot. That is not their job. That's not their duty. They have to wait until Russia, Iran, Turkey together send their armies into present-day Jordan. So no, there's not going to be conflict. Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, as the Prime Minister of Israel, does not have permission by God, his God, the God of Israel, to cause any great conflict with Iran or Turkey, and presently not so much even Syria. But Syria's got to come. Syria must be destroyed, and also Jordan must be involved in conflict here shortly. Then Israel can take real estate. Donald Trump, he's a man of peace. He's not going to bring about peace in the region. He cannot do it. The prophets, true prophets, look at the prophecies in the scripture, and if your theology and if your practice and what you speak is in conflict with what is going to happen, then you have to change. You know, many of the people that I listen to, they are demanding that President Trump do this and do that and do this and do that, promises made, promises kept, this type of rhetoric. No. You know, I am with the president presently because he was appointed by God. We are to pray for the leaders of the country. Let the Lord, we pray for them. Let the Lord decide how, you know, if it can be shaken, it can be shaken. I've stated so many times through the last 7 years, Donald Trump is the seventh president in Revelation chapter 17, verse 10. He is in the Bible. America is in the Bible. Chapter 17 of Revelation. He is one of the seven final presidents of this country. He is number seven. And he's put there by the Lord. Do I agree with everything he's doing? I don't even think about it. Because I don't know exactly what God wants to do to use him to set up the table for the next administration. That's what he's doing. This president is setting the table for who's to come. Why? Because the one who's coming doesn't have the ability to set the table for what God has planned in the time of tribulation. Everything Donald Trump is doing, even with COVID, even with the jabs, with all of that, what if God decided to use Donald Trump to allow injections, and the people that were injected were enemies of God? Not all, but a percentage. What if God used him to begin judgment on this country and judgment on an apostate, a world that has gone far from God? How many people who, once upon receiving the injections, have now asked for God to redeem them for eternity. There are too many intricate details that we don't see. Too many things we don't understand. But the Lord put him there. One thing I do understand, he has the abilities through his giftings, through his communicating abilities. He has the giftings in business, with finance. He has the ability to, if left alone, he will bring in a golden age, if left alone. But prophecy is keeping him from bringing in a golden age. And God allows these enemies to keep him in check, but God uses him to keep them in check. God is using Donald Trump to set up the technology via AI for the beast that's coming. Oh, but he's working with Palantir. Yep. Musk. Yep. He's working with Google. Yep. With all these AI techs. Yep. With Silicon Valley. Yep. He's protecting Israel. Yep. He's doing all these things. Like I stated in the last program, which was part one of the 22nd of February 2026 program, the previous program, that I just totally lost my train of thought there. I'm so clear on this matter of what Donald Trump is doing with all of the AI technology. The next administration is going to have this ability to set up an avatar. Who knows what it is called when the coming beast in the middle of the tribulation declares himself to be God in Jerusalem, in the temple. This coming administration, they do not have the ability to set up what is needed for that time of tribulation. Only Donald Trump has that ability. That's one of the reasons he's in place, like it or not. Promises made, promises kept. I hear it all over I hear it every day almost. Well, God decides what's going to happen. If God wants Donald Trump and has gifted him, given him the abilities to set the table, which he believes may be for himself, and it's going to be turned over to someone else, well, but he does have that vision. If he was left alone, he would set up a golden age. But prophecy says no. The Lord is coming to judge a God-hating world. And it's getting worse. And what Christ said, I'll use his own words. If he doesn't come, if he doesn't return, no flesh will be saved. And in the book of Job, I'm trying to remember what chapter, was it 27? Job said when Messiah comes, he's going to grab the horizons and shake the wicked out of the earth. It's just like taking a, you know, like the people have a round, like a trampoline. They put somebody in the middle and they bounce them up and down. They use them with people jumping out of 2-3-story buildings. The fire department, they have these things that people can jump onto to catch them. Well, the Lord's going to grab this, the horizons, east and west, and he's going to shake the wicked out of the world. Wicked meaning those who are no longer useful to mankind or to God. They're wicked. There's no use for them any longer. They're going to be fuel for the lake of fire. This is real Christian talk, real Christian thought. Trump is setting the table. Remember the table with King Solomon? And how it was just set perfectly? Because Solomon, now that Israel was a nation, had to invite the nations to come and see the splendor and glory of the temple and the wisdom of Solomon. Well, Donald Trump has that wisdom. He went to the Western Wall 2017 in the spring, wrote on a little piece of paper, put it in the wall. Well, as soon as he left, it's the practice of people to run to that wall as fast as they can and grab that piece of paper and read it. They want to know. They're nosy. Nobody's business but his own, but they're nosy. But on it he said, "Lord, I pray for wisdom." That's Donald Trump's note. "Lord, I pray for wisdom," because he knew he was going to need it. And God has given him that wisdom, and all of his enemies, like in Isaiah 54:17, "Though no weapon formed against him has prospered, and every tongue that has risen against him, he has silenced them." God has used him to protect this people of this country and the world, and because we don't see it, we're ungrateful. We don't understand how ungrateful we are. Donald Trump, God put him in, and he's going to stay there until he is relieved of his duties. He must continue a short space. He must, no question. In other words, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be an attempt to remove him. There's going to be pushback. But he must, it's definite, he must continue a short space. It's very clear there's going to be a hurricane and tornadoes and solar eclipses, solar storms, and everything's going to come against him. It's right there in Revelation 17, verse 10. He comes, but he must continue a short space. He must continue a short space. He's going to be there until God dismisses him. People want to know, why do you support Trump? Because he's in the Bible. Because he's God's servant. He's born again. How do you know that? Well, pastors are to test to see whether or not people are of the faith. He's a young Christian. Does he understand that he's even born again? Does he understand that the Holy Spirit lives inside of him? There are people I meet that say they're a Christian, but I have no witness. But Paul the Apostle said, "Examine yourselves to see whether or not you are of the faith." Up to individuals to examine themselves. And as a pastor, one of my giftings, I examine to see if people are of the faith. Okay, podcasts. Our podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com, thispresenttruth.com, on the Olive Tree site. Two sites, go to Olive Tree. Contact information, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. The Lord Jesus bless you. The Lord Jesus, our God, bless you, keep you, protect you, your children. May he be with you. May he continue to, may you find favor in his eyes. God bless you.